This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Democratic incumbent Kay Hagan and her Republican challenger, House Speaker Tom Tillis, faced off in the second of three debates last night. The hour was filled with sharp exchanges and pointed accusations.
You know, when you vote with the president 96% of the time, you represent the president's policies, the policies that are going to be on the ballot in November.
100% of the time, Speaker Tillis's policies have hurt North Carolina. Gutted education, killed an equal pay bill, no Medicaid expansion.
Hagan and Tillis will meet again in their final debate tomorrow night in Wilmington. How much do these debates matter to voters? Joining us now to talk about the debate is political expert Michael Bitzer. He's a professor of politics and history and provost at Catawba College. Welcome back, Michael.
Pleasure to be here.
Big question in the debate, this went to Kay Hagan, asked about President Obama's approach to ISIS and her attentiveness to the whole issue. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big question that Speaker Tillis raised against Kay Hagan was certainly the issue of, is she paying attention through participation in the Armed Services Committee. She chairs one of the key subcommittees about emerging threats, and he has really used that as kind of a weapon against her in terms of whether she is really paying attention about this growing threat. She countered that she is paying attention to it. She later said that she missed one of the committee hearings regarding a fundraiser that she was participating, but actually was able to turn that back against the speaker and chided him for missing so much, of the House sessions for his own fundraising capabilities. So really, it's become a kind of tit-for-tat going back and forth between the two candidates.
And one of the questions, of course, is how this particular issue registers with voters. Do we have any idea what kind of appeal this has among North Carolina voters?
Well, certainly this is an issue that is outside the control of both candidates and their campaign. So they're really having to react to it much more than being proactive in it. It probably speaks to the Republican base much more because they are seen as much more pro-military, pro-defense. But I think she was able to counter that, and certainly with the amount of military personnel here in the state, it is certainly something that is attentive to North Carolinians' attention, and for the fact that also Republicans are doing much better nationally on issues like foreign affairs, military, defense-related policies.
Well, another issue that is important to all of us and possibly outside the control of the U.S. Senate is the Ebola threat. Let's listen to what Speaker Tillis had to say.
Until the CDC can convince me that we are able to intervene with anyone who represents a threat to the safety and security of this country, then we've got to prevent them from traveling here.
All right. Now, Senator Hagan said that she would support a broad travel ban, but thought that an international coalition was a better solution. She accused Tom Tillis of pandering.
I believe what you're hearing from Speaker Tillis is scare tactics, and I think that he is using this in a very, very serious way.
All right. Once again, Michael Bitzer, how big an issue is this, and to what extent do North Carolinians see their U.S. senator as central to it?
Right. I think it's certainly growing in terms of national and state awareness with the unfortunate passing today in Texas of the gentleman who did suffer from Ebola and apparently has passed away. This is going to be something that resonates, that continues to be in the news. I think certainly Speaker Tillis went in an aggressive manner on this particular issue, and I think you're going to hear more and more Republicans use this tactic and say that there should be barriers and that, you know, travel should be banned from that part of Africa. I think Senator Hagan certainly is on the defensive in terms of this particular issue, but is trying to, again, frame the issue in a way that she can turn it against him. So it is very much a give and take what we saw last night with some very sharp elbows being thrown on both sides.
You know, from what you could observe, to what extent do you think this debate had both candidates appealing more strongly to their base or perhaps to crossover and undecided voters? Could you tell, Michael?
I honestly think it was basically a base-oriented debate. Both sides were appealing to their respective camps. When you had George Stephanopoulos ask the question to Speaker Tillis, what would you disagree with your own party? He couldn't name anything. I think that kind of orthodoxy among Republicans is certainly something he is very aware of, and he needs his base, particularly Tea Party Republicans, to come out strong. Senator Hagan really, you know, emphasized at times the bipartisan nature and trying to appeal to the middle, but ultimately she has got to deal with having a Democratic turnout much more closer to a presidential year than a midterm.
Yeah, let's hear that, because as you said, George Stephanopoulos did ask that question to Tom Tillis. You characterized it as not responding. Let's listen, and we can decide for ourselves, but let's listen.
Well, you know, I think what we ought to do is talk about the things that we can do to actually move legislation, like 350 bills that have gone from the House and went to Harry Reid's desk. Senator Hagan's been quiet. She's talking about bipartisan leadership, but let's talk about regulatory reform. Let's talk about repealing Obamacare. Let's talk about putting the EPA back into check instead of destroying jobs.
All right, so George Stephanopoulos is now a journalist, and he heard that he didn't hear the answer to the question, when would you disagree with your party's leadership? So he asked it again.
I don't know. At this point, it's kind of hard to say, because in the Senate, which I'll speak for the Senate, not for the House, President or Harry Reid hasn't allowed anything to be passed.
All right, so now let's listen to Kay Hagan's reply to that.
I disagree with the president. I think we need to build the Keystone Pipeline. Trade deals. I have voted against trade deals because they sent too many North Carolina jobs overseas. And I voted against my own party's budget because it had too deep of cuts to our military.
Now, this is interesting, Michael Bitzer, because Tom Tillis has made much of associating Kay Hagan, a 96% voting record with the president and the Democratic leadership. He has made much of that, and yet she was able to sort of point to differences between the administration and her. Tom Tillis wasn't. I mean, what do you make of that?
I think Tillis actually opened the door for Kay Hagan to walk in and to say that she was a bipartisan. She mentioned John McCain. She mentioned fellow Republican Senator Richard Burr here from North Carolina. And the key thing, again, kind of showing what Tom Tillis was talking about, was that he was mentioning issues that are very much front and center for a Republican base electorate, the EPA, anytime you can mention that, and regulatory reform. Those are things that are kind of red meat to Republican base electorate voters. But certainly he did not answer the question in my mind about where you would differentiate. He did that in the first debate about over the counter contraceptives, and I think he got some blowback potentially from that. He towed very much the Republican Party line and used those arguments against Kay Hagan, but Senator Hagan was able to come back and really say, look, I am kind of going against my own president. In this polarized environment, it is not unusual to see Democrats voting with their president's policies at that level and Republicans voting against it. So this is just the nature of where we are in our political environment.
Well, and to what extent does Tillis's unwillingness to align too closely with the Republican establishment and leadership reflect a certain concern about the Tea Party vote in this state?
I think it's critical. I mean, with the 2010 revolution that we saw and the number of elected officials that identify with Tea Party conservatism here in this state, I think it is incredibly important for them to be energized and mobilized and really have that kind of red meat coming out of their candidate. This is all about who turns out in less than 4 weeks. And critically, it is going to be important to get partisan registered voters from both Democratic and Republicans to show up. Unaffiliated generally will not, so they are much more reliant on their bases.
All right, let's do a little fact-checking here. Tom Tillis says the Affordable Care Act killed 2.5 million jobs and wanted to associate Kay Hagan with that. Affordable Care Act killed 2.5 million jobs?
I think that's a stretch to be able to make that connection, but certainly both sides were stretching the truth to really fit into their talking points. The issue really becomes about the CBO numbers and analysis about the Affordable Care Act and the reduction in the number of hours that employers and employees were going to be able to work. I think that was kind of the stretch that Tillis made in terms of a connection to that high number.
Right. The CBO report said that over 2 million workers would work fewer hours and perhaps go off of full time because, well, because they have insurance. And so they don't go out of the workforce, in fact.
Right.
Now, Kay Hagan says Tom Tillis opposes equal pay for women because of legislation that he did not support. Opposes equal pay for women?
I would be shocked if he would really come out and say something like that. I think, again, it was taking the issue and, you know, really framing it in a way that appeals to a Democratic base. You know, there is this massive gender gap going on, and I think Senator Hagan was really trying to play that up, particularly among women voters, who will be the majority of voters who are casting ballots here in North Carolina and who are concerned about issues such as equal pay for equal work. I don't think Speaker Tillis, however, would be voting against something like that, as he remarked in the debate last night.
All right. So let's take a look at tomorrow night's debate in Wilmington. What do we expect?
I think it's going to be even sharper elbows and even more punches, and we're going to have the third party, the Libertarian Sean Haugh, participating in it. This could be an interesting mix and really put the two candidates who are used to combating each other onto maybe their heels in terms of how he responds and who he may be pulling votes for ultimately come November.
All right, Michael, always a pleasure. Michael Bitzer, thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure as always.
Michael Bitzer, a professor of history and politics and provost at Catawba College. On the state of things, we're going to talk about a film that takes a look at forgotten farm workers, part of North Carolina's Latin American Film Festival. And you will hear it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.